Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer at CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Cobb, and he joins us now via the phone line. David, how's it going?
Going well, Gabe. 3 days away from college football. If you want to call week zero college football anyway, just 3 days away.
Oh, it's college football, all right. It is college football, all right. Now, I've been asking this question all day today because we have Florida State, and they're going to be playing Georgia Tech. That line keeps coming down. It's like 10.5 right now that they're favored by, which against Georgia Tech for a top 10 team, you would think it would be a little bit more. But I keep coming back to this question. How much of Florida State's preseason ranking is last year's work? And less projecting of what's actually going to happen with this particular roster.
I think that's a really good point, Gabe. I think we are giving Florida State the benefit of the doubt because of what they accomplished last season. I think collectively in our college football psyche, like unless you are a Florida fan or a Miami fan or just hate Florida State for some reason, I think a lot of us have some sympathy for the Seminoles and for what happened. And for the fact that they were 13-0 and got left out of the college football playoff, the longer I think on that and the more time goes by, the more it's just so obvious how unjust that was. They didn't deserve that. They were undefeated. They did everything in their power, and they had the opportunity to play in the playoffs, stripped away from them due to an injury and due to some people in wearing suits in a boardroom. And so I think when we look at this year's Florida State team, there's a collective guilt among voters and people who talk about college football. And to a certain extent, that has played into Florida State being ranked in the top 10 going into the season. Because I think if you looked at their roster and you made a realistic assessment of what all they lost, it would be hard to get there.
Real quick, David, we have a little bit of reverberation with you. We're going to try to get you off and get you right back on. Is that cool?
Okay.
Yep. All good. We're going to have David Cobb on in just a moment. But, yeah, we have this Florida State-Georgia Tech line at 10.5 right this second. Florida State's favored by 10.5. Georgia Tech was better last year. I understand that down the stretch of the season. But it's insane to see a top 10 team making that trip against a Georgia Tech team that's still on the up and up, not being favored by a whole lot more. You need that Florida State team to be favored by a whole lot more if you really buy into them being a top 10 team. David, you there? We got you?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was in a long-winded point there. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right. I think Florida State has to prove it to us because, yeah, they're a top-10 team, but I'm not so sure that in reality that's what they're going
to
be.
And I was just about to get to this. Like, I'm not going to be surprised when in the fourth quarter that's going to be a game. Like, that's going to be a game that Georgia Tech seemingly could win. I'm not going to be surprised in the slightest.
For sure. Georgia Tech is legit. They are a tough team. They're not a team that Florida State's just going to be able to run over. So that would be great. I mean, awesome if we get a banger to start week zero, because, Gabe, it's pretty slim pickings after you get past Florida State, Georgia Tech. There's not a whole lot of other meat on the bone there.
Well, Delaware State, we're going to have to watch that, right? Everybody's on Hawaii now at minus 38.5 because Delaware State doesn't know how to travel.
Right? It's crazy because you think about it, that's about as long of a trip as you could have in the United States, going from Delaware to Hawaii. I mean, that's just wild. Somebody needs to do a story on how Delaware State and Hawaii even ended up playing in the first place.
Right.
And why is Delaware State agreeing to play a game that starts at midnight at their time? That one's at least mildly interesting because of the travel situation. And then how about this? The SMU Nevada line is
coming down.
Is tweaking. Yeah, Nevada's getting some love. That one's down to 20.
I love it. I wanted it at 27.5. Now it's 24.5. Even better for me.
You talked me into it on Monday, so I'm big on the Mustangs here. They do like to run up the score on folks, so I kind of think they're going to cover 24.5 for sure.
No, one thing I can't understand about Delaware State with a flight to Hawaii, why didn't you charter? Like, I know you probably don't have that much money, but you got to buy a game out of Hawaii, I'm sure. Like, well, use some of that money to go charter a flight. It doesn't seem that they're not going to leave without you if you have a charter.
You want to talk about the pits of the financial structure in Division I? Delaware State, man. They're in the MEAC. Like, that MEAC media rights deal, it ain't slapping. You know? They're not making a whole lot of money off those MEAC TV advertisements.
Not.
So, you know, that's a tough one. You know, honestly, they ought to arrange it when a FCS program goes across the Pacific to play at Hawaii. It ought to be part of the game contract that Hawaii sends a jet over to pick them up.
Right.
So something like this doesn't happen.
Yes. But to be late to a flight, not have the foresight that you're going to have to travel 60 some odd guys plus staffers and then have to go through security and everything, it's just nuts to me. Now,
Memphis knows all too well the perils of trying to coordinate a game in Hawaii. Well, it was just a few years ago, right? The Tigers were supposed to play in that Hawaii Bowl.
Yep.
And it all went up in flames.
Well, they got there. They had no issues.
So but remind me of what happened there, the opponent who I'm blanking on.
It was Hawaii. And who was that? Todd Graham was the coach. And they had, it was COVID. And I think even more so than COVID, there was a revolt within that roster, like all the players, they just hated Todd Graham, which is not surprising based on the things I hear about Todd Graham.
And then they tried to blame it on COVID.
They did have some guys that were positive, but everybody had some positive tests at that point in time.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, I mean, that was just basically a cop-out because they didn't want to play a game.
Yes. Well, they had a bunch of players despising their coach, didn't want to play for him anymore. He got fired because of that.
The exodus from Hawaii was massive. Anyway, that's super side tangent there. That's what brought them to Timmy Chang, who is like now their head coach, the beloved former son.
Is he still the passing yards leader in college football? I think he might be.
With some of these sixth-year seniors, those records are going down. Like, Dylan Gabriel has got a bunch of those records in his crosshairs for this year, but it might be the Hawaii guy. You know, it might still be Chang for now.
I think it's Chang for now, but Dylan Gabriel, you're right, could definitely get over top. Now, there's another Oregon quarterback you wrote about today, and I'm really glad you wrote this article because I think it's important, because we lose sight sometimes with the transfer portal being a thing, like how well some of these transfer quarterbacks do. There's some bad examples of guys transferring elsewhere, never really doing what they expect to do. They think they're in a better situation. They're ultimately not. But Bo Nix got named the starting quarterback for the Broncos. And you took a sort of deep dive into how well of how big of a success story this is. But this is not something that is out of the realm of possibilities. We see it all the time. Four of the top six quarterbacks taken in the top 12 were transfers. And then you can even go back from there, like Kyler Murray, transfer. Baker Mayfield, transfer. Joe Burrow, transfer. Jalen Hurts, transfer. I'm glad you wrote this because I think people hate the transfer portal so much, but they lose sight of the fact that a lot of these guys land in great situations for themselves and help their ultimate careers.
Right. It's led to career resurrections time after time after time. And I'm just looking at the quarterback position for this story. That's the most obvious to recall off the top of your head. And there's just some easy big names to throw out there when you have the quarterback discussion, but it goes for all positions as well. I mean, we like to complain about it, and it's not perfect, but look at Bo Nix, man. He was draft eligible when he left Auburn after his junior season there. He played three seasons of college ball. He's a former five-star prospect, but he was getting absolutely zero draft buzz. In fact, his career had sort of gone backwards at Auburn. He started out playing pretty well as a freshman, and then by the time he left there as a junior, I mean, he was basically damaged goods. And he ends up at Oregon and resurrects his career entirely. And I just think that's such a credit, again, to one of the coaches who have been at Memphis, yeah. Dan Lanning and Kenny Dillingham, because Dan Lanning hired Kenny Dillingham to be his offensive coordinator, which was, you know, he was kind of coming off of a weird stint in his career, but they'd worked together at Memphis. And Kenny Dillingham had coached Bo Nix at Auburn. And so he, I'm sure, vouched to Dan about, hey, no, this guy's legit. Let's bring him in here. I can make him into something. Because if you're Oregon and you're Dan Lanning and it's your first year as a head coach and you're looking at the transfer market for a quarterback, I don't think Bo Nix was at the top of your list a right. couple of years ago. But they took a chance on him, and Dan Lanning trusted Kenny Dillingham to bring in his guy, and then Bo Nix totally turned his career around, and now he's going to be a week one starter as a rookie in the NFL. So it's a really cool story, and it's sort of the same thing with Jaden Daniels as well, going to be the week one starter yep. for Washington after he resurrected his career at LSU. So these are success stories of the transfer portal that would not have been possible a decade ago.
Yeah, and I'll say this about Bo Nix and the Auburn experience. You always saw the flashes, but he did not fit Gus's system at all. It feels like the only reason he went to Auburn is because he was a legacy guy. And that was always frustrating for me because I always thought there was something else to unlock, but Gus's system did not fit him in the slightest.
Right, and we always want the legacy guy to follow their dad or follow their uncle or follow their grandfather. And Peyton Manning got thrown to the wolves by the Ole Miss people when he chose Tennessee. And Eli Manning was anointed the savior when he chose Ole Miss. And we always sort of impose like what we want a prospect to do based on, you know, the career that their family member had or whatever. But I mean, Bo Nix is the perfect example of why you shouldn't just go to the family legacy program. You go to the place that fits you best. And maybe at the time, Auburn was that decision, you know, because obviously sure. he and Kenny Dillingham worked well together there. But, man, it just kind of goes to show, like, relationships and fit and scheme, they are more important than the logo on the side of the helmet, to be honest. And sometimes we lose sight of that. But obviously, Bo Nix, being son of a Southern football coach, son of an SEC quarterback, ends up, you know, making his name for himself at Oregon, of all places. And so I think it's a testament to Dan Lanning as much as anything, to trust Kenny Dillingham and trust your hires to go out and get the players that fit their eye. Because you look at Mario Cristobal and the way he was at Oregon and how he stifled a Justin Herbert, who then yep. ends up becoming a star in the NFL. And you look at at Gus and his failure to utilize Bo Nix to his fullest extent. It's just like, man, sometimes as a player, you have to be able to ID the coach who can get the most out of you.
Yeah, I know this is a sidebar, but you brought up Justin Herbert, so I'm going to get on my soapbox really quick. That was one of the most embarrassing offensive systems you could run with a guy like that. Because he came out and everybody's like, can he even throw the ball downfield? It's like, no, they're just running a bunch of now routes and little slants because Marcus Arroyo, who was the OC at the time, didn't know how to call offense. And then he's a failed head coach. You know what I mean? Like, that was an embarrassing time for Oregon. They had a bunch of talent that they were not able to utilize in the slightest. And Mario, Mario's to blame for that. He made the hire.
Right. And now it makes you wonder when you look at this year's Miami team, doesn't it? Because
yes.
I mean, I'm all in on the Canes, but that's in spite of who their head coach is. Mario Cristobal is a great recruiter, a master of talent, but he's yet to show that he can be a game day winner, either from a schematical perspective or from like an in-game coaching perspective. So those questions are still following Mario Cristobal.
Now, talking with David Cobb from CBS Sports. Now, speaking of game day winners, I need to know, Dylan Raiola's name is starting quarterback at Nebraska. Is he going to be a game day winner? He's a true freshman, number one quarterback in last year's class. What do you think about Dylan Raiola in this Nebraska experience heading into this year? Are they going to show some promise, or is it going to be same old, fold in the fourth quarter, play terrible situational football, and lose games that you shouldn't lose?
Surely at some point the odds flip in your favor when you are minus 17 in turnover margin and just unable to ever catch a break. Surely at some point the pendulum of luck swings in your favor. But to be honest, just looking at taking away that the probabilities of that happening, I don't love it. I don't love starting a true freshman quarterback in college football in this era where you still have the fifth and sixth year guys cycling through. It's just unbelievably risky, in my opinion. And I bring up Dante Moore from last year at UCLA, and I bring up Jaden Rashada from last year at Arizona State as the two examples of exactly how this can go wrong, because both those guys got banged up. Neither of them were great when they were healthy, and now they have transferred out and are at schools where they're going to be backups. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Dylan Raiola at Nebraska, but those are the two most recent examples we have of five-star prospects who started as true freshmen in college football, and that's what Nebraska's doing this year.
Yeah, but, okay. Yeah, I get what you're saying. It is risky to start a true freshman. You could shoot his confidence if he struggles early in the season. I understand all that. You got to develop the guy. But he definitely seems like a guy who's ready to go, and we know all the family connections. But with this roster they have and Dylan Raiola, I think he's their best option, though, by the way. I don't think anybody would really argue that. But do you think they'll actually – are they going to make a bowl this year? I guess that's my question. Are they going to make a damn bowl this year?
Well, they ought to. The win total is at 7.5. So you could go a game and a half under and still get bowl eligible for the first time since 2016. And, man, a lot of disrespect from you to backup quarterback Heinrich Harburg there.
Heinrich Harburg,
Yeah, was part of that epic
household name, Heinrich Harburg.
Right, yeah. He was among the trio of disasters who played quarterback for Nebraska last season. So you're right. Dylan Raiola had very little competition in terms of actually having to, you know, face a decent challenger to win this job. But that's only part, you know, a greater deal of the concern for me with Nebraska is if Dylan Raiola doesn't work out or goes down, you're going to somebody who is not even a replacement level quarterback who, oh, by the way, also had a really good spring game. So everybody's looking at these Dylan Raiola spring game numbers, but kind of not mentioning that Heinrich Harburg, who we've seen, who isn't very impressive, also had really good numbers in that spring game. So yeah. I just don't know that you can take a whole lot from that. But as you mentioned, he's a legacy, and it's one of those situations where, is this a Bo Nix situation where he just kind of caved to the pressure of going where daddy went? I mean, sorry, that's harsh, but that's, you know, is Nebraska and his offensive coordinator, Marcus Satterfield, are they really the best fit for Dylan Raiola's potential? I don't know, man. I'm not sold on that. And so I just think this is Matt Rhule playing with fire a little bit. And I think in this era, there are so many different ways to get your hands on a proven quarterback, especially in such a pivotal season. And so I question whether or not this is ultimately going to work out for Nebraska.
So I want to relate this to another article you wrote, SEC expert picks about most overrated teams and underrated teams in the SEC. And I want to focus on the overrated team, Oklahoma. But Nebraska is a 90s, early 2000s power that has dissipated. And I heard Colin Cowherd talk about this on his show yesterday. And like you look at it and you're like, okay, that's a hot take. He makes a lot of those. But he talked about Nebraska disappearing. Could Oklahoma, in this step to the SEC, you list them as your most overrated team, one of your most overrated teams in the SEC, could the step to the SEC sort of put them in a similar situation as Nebraska, or do you think that it'll go a whole lot better than that? I get the point that he was trying to make, though, where this team steps into the SEC, they're middle of the pack, money-wise, quite frankly, they're middle of the pack. Yeah, they have support, but it's not that much more support than Arkansas, Ole Miss, some of these teams right there in the middle of the SEC. What do you think about that conversation in general, where Oklahoma steps into this new situation and it doesn't seem like they're necessarily ready for it?
Right. It could very well play out like Nebraska. I don't see them going 8 years without making a bowl game, though. Because that's kind of the situation we're in with Nebraska now, which is insane. Oklahoma is on the cusp of its third consecutive top 15 signing class under Brent Venables. coming off of a 10-win season. And they're going to face a really, really difficult road to 8 or 9 wins this year. I think this is a 7-5 team because of how tough the schedule is. And but still, that's better than what Nebraska's been putting up for most of the last decade. So I can see it happening in this sense. Like, if you remember when Nebraska first joined the Big Ten and they were winning 8 or 9 games a year under, you know, Bo Pelini and Mike Riley, that's kind of what I see happening to Oklahoma. But then what happened is Nebraska said, oh, no, we're better than this. Our historical standard is better than this. And they failed to realize how big that challenge was in their new league. And I think there needs to be a recognition from Oklahoma about what are realistic expectations in the SEC. Should they be a bowl team? Absolutely. There's no excuse for Oklahoma to ever miss a bowl. But are they going to be in the conference championship game every year or every other year like they were in the Big 12? Absolutely freaking not. This is a loaded 16-team SEC, and Oklahoma will be fortunate to make it into the SEC title game once every 4 or 5 years.
Who would you compare them to? Like, what expectation-wise in the SEC, there's different levels. We understand that. The expectations of Georgia and Alabama are not the same as Kentucky or Ole Miss or Arkansas. Who would you put them next to in the SEC? Who is like-minded as far as, like, what the expectation should be?
You're right. Auburn. Almost comes to mind as, like, a perfect comparison. Because Auburn is not a program that is perennially going to stack 11 or 12 wins, you know, in back-to-back years. However, every 3 or 4 years, you expect to see Auburn cycle up, have the right mix of talent and coaches and schedule to compete for an SEC title and compete for a national title. That's what Oklahoma should aspire to be, is a program that pops every 3 or 4 or 5 years, because it's just going to be so much more difficult in a league that has elevated levels of competition and programs with similar or better resources, similar or better recruiting classes. And I mean, so yeah, Oklahoma, to me, they are coming in kind of on that Auburn tier.
Yeah, and this year, 16, is that way too high? I know you put them as one of your most overrated teams in the SEC, but 16th ranking, you think that's a little overdone?
Well, if you were power ranking them and doing it that way, I think Oklahoma could make the case for being number 16. But when the season is over and Oklahoma has played 12 games and the AP voters are submitting their ballots, I don't think they're going to put an 8-4 team at number 16. Or they might not even have them in the top 25 at all if Oklahoma is 7-5. And I think 7-5 or 8-4 is likely. Not because I think Oklahoma stinks and I hate Oklahoma, but because I think
new coordinators, new quarterback. It's a
exactly.
lot.
That is, we are so overlooking that in the discussion around Oklahoma right now. Not only did you lose Jeff Lebby, who's now the head coach in Mississippi State, as your offensive coordinator, but you also are replacing your DC, too, and you're bringing in Zach Alley from Jacksonville State. In addition to starting a redshirt freshman at quarterback against a tough schedule. Now I'm all the way in on 7-5 after
talking
through
those
things.
Yeah, no, I
yeah. So it just, the overrated thing to me was very obvious with OU.
I got you. Well, David, I appreciate your time, man. Enjoy week 0, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. That's David Cobb, college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. And he is brought to you by Oxbow, the family-owned and operated retail store that you pass every day on Poplar. Make sure you get over there to Oxbow, off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact. Make sure you go check out that two-story storefront. Top floor, you're going to have all the hunting and outdoor essentials you need. You have all the gear. You have the guns up there. Make sure you get up there if you are a hunter and you are just an outdoorsman in general. But on the bottom floor, gift-giving destination of Memphis, and I truly mean that. You can get a gift for yourself, so that's there. But you can also get a gift for somebody else. I mean, they have everything on that bottom floor. They have Arbo's cheese dip, even. They have, soaps and, deodorants, everything you could possibly need. But the clothing down there is brilliant and great, and you're going to love it. You can get a casual look to a very nice, up look. Make sure you get over there. They have the best brand, Gentile Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, Maine. You get some polos, some button-downs, some shorts, some slacks, whatever you need. They have in your favorite teams as well. You can get some Grizzlies, Tigers, SEC favorites, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, Ole Miss, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. If you're getting to the Grove or Tiger Lane, they have your tailgating gear. They have vintage vinyl, sports memorabilia. anything you need right there at Oxbow 964 June Road. You can do it online as well. You go to shopoxbow.com, and when you go to shopoxbow.com, use my promo code, TheGabeShow, all caps, no spaces, TheGabeShow, and you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. So make sure you get ready for the season. Get geared up for your favorite teams, because college football is right here. We have week zero coming up this weekend. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local. Shop Oxbow. Now, we need to do a little thing called This or That. That is going to be next, right here on The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to The Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Again on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's time to play a little This or That. Connor Dunning, what do we have going today?
First up, This or That. An Edie Rookie of the Year season or a Ja Morant MVP season?
This is so dumb because it's like Grizzlies have never had an MVP, so of course I want an MVP. And if Ja wins an MVP, that probably means a lot for this team and what this team can accomplish this year. So I'm going to start by saying that, but I think Edie Rookie of the Year, I think that means more to this team. I think Ja Morant's a given. If Edie can win Rookie of the Year and be a double-double type machine in that one position of need that they had to address this offseason, I think this team can be at the top of the Western Conference, top four seed. So I the reason I would pick Edie Rookie of the Year, yes, it would mean a lot more in the future, but I think for this team in particular, it shows that that championship window could open and it'd be real playoff contenders. If Zach Edey can stay on the floor, can get the requisite stats to win Rookie of the Year, you should feel really damn good about what this team can accomplish.
I agree with you. I presented you this question after thinking about it last night when we decided to do a This or That segment, and I was like, what would be a good, positive Grizzlies conversation that we could have? And, you know, I have been a big proponent of this is a season in which the storyline for Ja Morant to win an MVP is there. It is there. Am I predicting it? No. But the storyline is absolutely there because of the redemption tour, and it would be so satisfying as a Grizzlies fan and as a Ja Morant supporter to see him win the MVP after, you know, the last few seasons that he has had. Now, that being said, I think I agree with you, and it's the Zach Edey Rookie of the Year. It's because the implication for what it would mean about the actual team, I think, matters a little bit more here. Yes, the Ja Morant MVP season means the Grizzlies are probably awesome. They probably won 50-plus games. He was healthy all season.
Sure,
those things are true. But a Zach Edey Rookie of the Year, in my opinion, puts the Grizzlies into true contending conversations. Like, they might be able to win an NBA championship next season if Zach Edey's your Rookie of the Year, because that means that he's probably averaging a double-double. That means that he has been healthy all season, and he has been really effective for the Memphis Grizzlies, not only on the offensive end, but also on the defensive end of the basketball.
And if Zach Edey is a Rookie of the Year, you know how much that helps Ja Morant.
Exactly.
And also, just because Ja Morant doesn't win an MVP doesn't mean he can't win All-NBA and be an All-Star and do all those things. I expect all of those things.
Right.
But Edey winning a Rookie of the Year, I just think takes this talent on this roster and puts it into hyperdrive, what we could see the next couple
of
years.
You know what I would like to see Ja Morant win next season rather than the MVP?
Huh.
A finals MVP.
A finals MVP. I like that.
And,
I like your thinking,
you
brother.
You can leapfrog off of an NBA championship into an MVP season.
Hey,
just
come
saying.
Come on.
Now,
why not?
I think this will be fun because I sent this question over to our good friend Parker Fleming, Grizzlies expert.
Yeah.
Substack Elitist. Make sure you're checking it out. Support St. Jude. I sent him this question. I said, Edie Rookie of the Year, Ja MVP. And what do you think he said back?
Both.
No.
Edie Rookie of the Year?
No.
He said Ja MVP. What did he say?
Taylor Jenkins, Coach of the Year!
I was going to say, this is a trick question. Connor, you hit me with a trick question.
He said Taylor Jenkins, Coach of the Year. Which, you know, if that happens, it means both of these are still possible.
Yeah, I think so. But I think if Edie wins Rookie of the Year this year, you have to feel damn good about where this Grizzlies team will be.
His real answer was Ja Morant MVP season, because he just wants to see the redemption tour, kind of like we all do. The storylines are there for the Grizzlies. I can't wait for it. All right, sticking with the Grizzlies for this next This or That. Grizzlies 2021-22 roster or this year's roster.
So that was a 56-win team. That was second in the West. They beat the Timberwolves that year. I'm gonna lean to 2021-22 just because it was proven. And like I think when you talk about the guys that were, you know, on that roster, DeAnthony Melton gave you awesome minutes. Kyle Anderson, you had a really good backup point guard in Tyus Jones. Brandon Clark was healthy at that particular moment to go on top of Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane, John Morant. Dylan Brooks was your defensive ace, and he was giving you some good offensive production. He wasn't as bad as he was the year after from the three-point line and from the field. So I would take that roster just because it's proven. This year, let's like as much as we want to believe in it, a lot of the guys on this roster have to reach expectations before we start crowning them, you know, the next kings of this Grizzlies team. G.G. Jackson has to do something in a different role. Vince Williams Jr. has to continue to produce what he did on the defensive end last year, knock down some corner three. Zach Edey, as a rookie, has to step into a role that he's never stepped into, and he's going to have to play a little bit different. So I'm going to go, just because I've seen this team, it was veteran-laden, and there's guys that understood their assignment, I'm going to go with the 2021-22 Grizzlies over this roster. Now, let's be honest, Connor, that could change drastically in the first half of the season. I could completely flip my opinion on this, but right now I'm going 21-22.
I think that's fair. You're basically taking it's results over potential here, because you know what that 2021-22 team can do. And I think that we all agree that if a few things have gone a different way, they probably would have gone a bit further in the playoffs. But injuries at the end of the day ended up hampering that team. Now, I think I'm going with potential, though. I'm going to take this year's roster. I'm going to take this year's roster. I might look foolish here in a few months, but my reasoning, part of it is Zach Edey and the potential there. I think that he could be similar to what Steven Adams was giving you, but he also gives you some offensive production,
yes.
Which I think that, you know, everybody knows how much we love Steven Adams here on this station, especially on this show, but I do think that Zach Edey could give the Grizzlies a different look. He could still give you some of the things that Steven Adams did very well. I'm not saying he's going to reach the level of screen assist and rebounding that Steven Adams did, because he was quite literally the best in the NBA at those, but if he gets you anywhere close to that, plus the offensive production, that is very promising. I think that the potential of G.G. Jackson is very exciting. Vince Williams Jr., exciting. But the main reason I am taking this year's team, John Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., they're more mature, they're more talented, and I just think that they are ready to make a big leap as a trio next season, because it just feels like it's been a while since we've really gotten to see these three guys play together. So that I'm taking the potential of
you.
The trio, and that is my main reasoning.
I get
why
you
I
mean.
Take this roster.
I just sort of wiped the trio clean, even though they're not the same players that they were in 2021-22. But at the same time, I just look at those supporting pieces. They were more proven. They understood what they were supposed to do, and that's why I'm taking 21-22.
Totally understand. All right, next up in the NFC, Lions or 49ers?
All right, this is. Everybody sort of knows what I'm going to pick, right? You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
My Lions! I'm going with my Lions,
baby! You gotta go
with
the Lions.
And when you really break down the roster, like, I'll give the 49ers the front seven. Like, they're better than the Lions there. But I think the Lions have a better quarterback. I think the Lions are just about very, very similar when it comes to, skill positions. Like, I know that everybody loses their mind when they see Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. But let's not confuse ourselves. Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, one of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL as far as running backs are concerned. Amon-Ra St. Brown is worth all the money. Jameson Williams, I'm telling you, he's going to take a leap this year. He's going to catch some balls downfield. Sam LaPorta is one of the best young tight ends in the league. I'm not saying he's better than George Kittle at this moment. He's probably better pass catcher, though, at this point in his career. So I think they're about even there. Secondary, I'm taking the Lions. Like, there's very few position groups where you look at the 49ers and you put them over top of the Lions. And here's the other part of it. The Lions have had a season, an off season, I should say, where they've signed all their good players and they're locked in and they're having no extracurricular drama. When you look at the 49ers, Trent Williams is holding out right now quietly. You have Brandon Ayuk holding out relatively quietly. Brock Purdy's going to have to get paid, so that drama's over top. I just think the Lions are stable as hell right now, which is crazy to talk about the Detroit freaking Lions being more stable right this second than the San Francisco 49ers. But I believe in this team, and I think this team's going to do awesome things next year. And here's the other part of it. Don't forget, NFC Championship last year, they had a lead going into half that they ended up squandering away, but it was their first time getting into that type of situation. But they had the expectations placed on them. They went over top. You know, they went, you know, blew through the expectations last year. I expect the same thing this year.
Come on.
This one's fun, this next one. Let's pin longtime friends against each other. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Would you rather have the Alabama dynasty or the Patriots dynasty?
So, six natties for Alabama, six Super Bowls for the Patriots. This is a good one. It's a really good one. I can make the case that it's harder to win six in the NFL. You have salary cap you have to deal with. It's harder to get around that. Alabama can just go get every five-star and four-star in the country and fill out a roster with the most talent and just out-talent teams consistently. But the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to take Nick Saban and Alabama, their dynasty. Yeah, I understand they can recruit the best players, but when you look at Bill Belichick's dynasty, it was tied to one player, right? It was tied to Tom Brady. We've had was it Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? That's the ongoing discussion. With Alabama, it was Tua. It was Bryce Young. It was going back. I mean, good Lord, Blake Sims. Like, you had all these different guys that were able to continue the greatness at Alabama. And I also think there was a shift in mindset from Nick Saban over the years. He was that ground control play defense team. Then he completely morphed, had the best run of four quarterbacks we've ever seen in the college football game. Bill Belichick never really had that moment where he was shifting the way he was thinking his team was going to be. He was always going to be defensive minded and let Tom Brady take care of the offense. I just think when we look at Alabama and what they were able to do over the years with all these different sets of circumstances, all these different players, not being tied to one player like Tom Brady with that Patriots dynasty, I just think it was more impressive. And I think the other part of this that we do not need to discount, Nick Saban went out on top, brother. Like, as much as you wanted to see them get over top of Michigan, and that would have been, you know, get a national championship in his final year before he retires, sure, that would have been nice. But he was in the college football playoff and took the eventual national champion down to the damn wire. Had a goal line play that they screwed up to lose that game. So I think Nick Saban went out on top. Bill Belichick, we know he did not. That was a terrible team, really bad team, and now they're in a complete rebuild because of the way he mismanaged it.
I agree with you, and I think it's just very simple for me. I would rather have my college football team have an extended run than an NFL team, because, you know, I don't really have a core. I root for the Titans, but I wouldn't say I'm a diehard Titans fan by any means, but I absolutely root for them, so I think by default they're my team. But I would just rather have, like, Tennessee or Memphis go on this dynastic run that spans over two decades with a legendary coach. I just think I would enjoy it a little bit more if it was a college team. I don't know. It just feels like college football just means more. I know that that's cheesy and it's a bit cliche, but at the end of the day, I think it does.
Yeah, man, it's just, it's hard for me. Like, the bad taste in the mouth from Bill Belichick.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Port Trek. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and
at-bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/at-bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Though is probably the biggest issue, though.
That's also true.
Right? It's just like he ran that franchise into the ground once Tom Brady left.
But it was so tied to Tom Brady. It just really was.
Yeah, and you know, Nick Saban, he could still be coaching right now. He morphed into this NIL era, changed every step of the way, always was at the top of the sport. By the end of it, I can't say the same about Bill Belichick. I think the game outgrew him. The game, you know, got to a point where his style became old, outdated, antiquated. So I don't think Nick Saban had those same issues.
All right, final this or that. Daryl Doucette or Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, good God. Good Lord, Connor. Daryl Doucette, of course, the USA flag football quarterback who feels disrespected that
his
NFL
IQ
players
game.
When they get involved. He had a sound. He had a just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard said today. And I want to play that on the other side. So let's save this. Let's save this. We'll do that in small talk. But Patrick Mahomes is my answer, Connor. Right, what about you? Is Patrick Mahomes your answer?
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be my answer here, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Now, before we get there, I need to tell you about Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because you get more choices. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They make custom designing your engagement ring risk-free and easy. You have peace of mind with a meant-to-be guarantee. You can buy your loose diamond, custom-made engagement ring, Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you have 365 days to return it. And here's the thing. Like, when you customize it, you could have it your way. You can bring in a drawing. You can bring in a picture. And they can make your vision come to life at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And they do it in a no-pressure environment. They know how big of a decision it is, so ask questions. There's no dumb questions at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They also have a bunch of different things that they do for you if you buy an engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free ring sizing for life, so if you gain some weight, you lose some weight, they can handle that for you. They will make the adjustments that you need. They have free jewelry spa service for life, and this is buffing, polishing, ultrasonic cleaning. This isn't just them, you know, going in and trying to wipe off, and, you know, this is legitimately going to keep all of that fine jewelry bright and sparkling for life. And then they have great payment options. You can ask her now and pay later. Financing options like 24-month deferred interest, take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. They have four decades of experience at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie and his team are great at what they do, so take advantage of Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now they have three locations, South Haven, Bartlett, and the new Diamond Showroom, Perkins Extended. You can also go online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now let's go ahead and grab a break, and we'll talk about Daryl Doucette, the USA flag football quarterback, on the other side.
92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. For Small Talk today, we go out to U.S. flag football quarterback Daryl Doucette, who's been in the news for saying it's disrespectful that NFL players just assume they'll be able to take the spots from the incumbents coming in the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. But he spoke on Patrick Mahomes today. This is what he had to say.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Well, first of all, my first observation. He's from New Orleans, ain't it? I mean, good God, that is Louisiana if I've ever heard it. That is, I've never heard him talk, but he is from Louisiana. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But this comment, come on, brother. This has turned from like, okay, he's just got sour grapes to, okay, I think he's 5'8", 140. I think there's a little bit of little man syndrome going on right now. But you even admitted he's more accurate than you. You admitted he's the best player in the league. You admitted he's the best quarterback in the league. Step out of the way. Step out of the way. And you talk about your IQ. I'm questioning your IQ by making a statement like this, to be honest with you. And when you listen, I get the point he's trying to make. He's saying, well, I know flag football better than Patrick Mahomes. You know how easy it'll be to teach Patrick Mahomes, who's competed in 7-on-7s and probably flag football before? You know how easy it's going to be to teach him flag football? You know what they do right now at the Pro Bowl, by the way? It's a flag football game. So, buddy, it's not going to be that complicated. And I think his IQ within the flag football community can go up in, I don't know, a day. Just teach him the rules. He'll be okay. He'll be okay, Daryl.
Not having to worry about getting hit by a 6'5", 300-pound defensive end while trying to read a defense, I feel like is only going to make Patrick Mahomes' flag football IQ go up, because he's going to have more time to focus. He's going to have more time to read a defense, which doesn't have fewer players on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Patrick Mahomes.
Skeleton. It's easy.
IQ in flag football.
Good God.
Not that worried about it.
Yeah.
He's also taller, so he'll be able to see better.
And who's he going to be throwing? It's an open field. I don't think it's that hard to see. But you know who's
I was trying to burn him.
You know who he's going to be? You know who he's going to be throwing to, by the way?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. Maybe. Friggin' Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. It's going to be okay, Daryl. This is morphed into something that he doesn't want. I don't know why he... Listen, I am all for having confidence in yourself. But when you put yourself in a conversation with Patrick Mahomes and say, I have a better football IQ than him, I think I have better IQ for the game, that's absolutely nuts. And, like, dude, I don't know. He probably doesn't have a PR team, or else he wouldn't have said this. But whoever is in his corner, his friends, his family, they need to tell him, buddy, when you get asked questions like this, don't answer that way. Please, for the love of God. People like confidence. They don't like arrogance. And when you put yourself in a conversation with Patrick Mahomes where you act like you're a better flag football quarterback, normal quarterback, whatever you're trying to say, you are completely you're being arrogant and dumb, and you need to check yourself, brother. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Yeah. And he's hurting his chances of actually being on the team. Because, like, listen,
he's not going to be on the team, Connor.
Well, I could see them being like, listen, he helped get flag football to where it was. We can carry him on the roster without him playing. Like, you could make a case for that, but the more he talks, it's no, you're not going to be on the team.
Can I ask this question? Sure, you could say, okay, he helped get flag football in the United States where it was. But before this week, have you ever heard of his name?
No. So, no, like, it still rings true that he's been the quarterback. Yeah. It doesn't take that away. Him being stupid with commas doesn't take away the fact that that still remains.
Patrick Mahomes has the chance to take flag football way farther.
Yeah. I'm just saying, carry him on the roster. I'm not saying playing.
In the eye of the casual viewing public than Daryl freaking Doucette.
I'm just saying,
does.
He could have had a Rudy moment where this players walked in and gave the head coach their jerseys and said, Doucette has to play. That is out the window.
This isn't the Caitlin Clark WNBA. We can't do the Caitlin Clark WNBA.
That's not what I'm saying.
Freaking Daryl Doucette.
I'm not saying that at all.
Well, there's
not
women that came before that grew the game. Yeah, you could say that about the W. The flag football.
That is not at all what I just said.
I know, but I'm just saying, but like, I. What? Even saying he grew the game. I know, but you're saying he grew the game to where it is now.
I'm just saying allow him to be on the team to get a gold medal.
Where is flag football?
It's at the level where Patrick Mahomes.
It's not on TV.
It's where Patrick Mahomes puts to play it.
If it's an Olympic sport, they were always going to want to play it.
Let him be on the team. That's all I'm saying. They would have probably let him be on the team. Now that possibility is going out the window every single time you open your mouth.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Make him a
Caitlin
reserve.
Clark. What are you talking
reserve
about?
Reserve to reserve. Well, you talked about growing the game. It's like flag football.
I didn't say grow the game.
It's not that grown.
I did not say
it's
grow not, the game. Yeah, run back the tape.
You know, we can run back the tape. We can run back the tape. You did say.
I said got the sport
it.
To where it was.
Okay.
I didn't say he grew the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are two different things.
Same idea.
No.
Same,
no, they
same.
Are not. No,
same,
they're not.
Same.
No, they're not.
Same, same.
No, they are not.
Got the sport to where it was. Grow the game. Same idea.
No, it's not. That's not the same at all.
I want to hear from you folks out there. Hit us up. CDunning929 at G_Coon71. Is that the same? It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Same idea.
I've called him Rudy. I'm not saying he is the freaking Caitlin Clark of flag football. What are you talking about?
Listen, I'm not making a 101, but I'm talking about the grow the game thing and got the game
I'm
to where it was.
Put him on the team. Let that's him be the mascot.
Not, that's what this conversation needs to be about.
All I'm saying is let the man be a mascot on the team. Yeah. In the past, but that's gone now. It's gone. As soon as you said the IQ, it's gone.
All right. That's enough. That's enough. Let's go ahead and get to hour number three. We'll open up hour number three, talking with Chris Vanini on some college football with Week Zero right here coming up on Saturday. But we'll do that next right here. 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.